Our featured story is about these 6 million Epstein files that have just been released. And we'll back up the story a little bit. So today, finally, after about 7 or 8 months of a cover-up, what is in effect a cover-up from the highest levels of government, finally, the DOJ seems to have declassified about 50% of the files that they have on the Jeffrey Epstein case. And so all the files came out today. All these 3 million files came out. And it's emails, it's tips to the FBI, it's images, it's news reports. It's a lot to go through. And I don't know that investigators have even gotten to the bottom of everything. It's 3 million documents. I don't think it would even be possible. But we're starting to see what's in the files. And a lot of it is very strange. And as I said at the top of the show, some of it seems more credible than other parts of it. Some of the files are emails from Jeffrey Epstein, from Ghislaine Maxwell, and this is correspondence between Epstein and his inner circle. Other files are tips, which are not corroborated, unsubstantiated. They're just claims about apparent crimes committed by Donald Trump and other people. And they talk about torture and murdering sex abuse victims and raping children and all this kind of stuff. And without any supplemental material, it's really difficult to understand what any of this really is. What's real? What's fake? What's the whole story? What's the background on a lot of this stuff? We just got all of this with no context at all. But like I said, we got to back it up. First, I want to read through this story about what happened today. Then we'll kind of go back to the beginning. It says, quote, "The Department of Justice on Friday released the largest batch of Jeffrey Epstein files to date, a giant tranche including 3 million more pages of documents and thousands of videos and images. The department released 3 million pages, 2,000 videos, and some 180,000 images. The pages consist of email chains, text messages, news articles, internal investigative reports, and other material tied to Mr. Epstein. The files appear to contain at least 4,500 documents that mentioned President Trump. One was a summary that officials at the FBI assembled last summer of more than a dozen tips from members of the public involving Trump and Epstein. It's unclear why the investigators put together the summary, which includes accusations of sexual abuse by Epstein and Trump. The emails did not include any corroborating evidence. According to the emails, Mr. Epstein drafted notes to and about Bill Gates in 2013, suggesting that he engaged in extramarital sex. The Gates Foundation called the accusations absolutely absurd and completely false. In one email, Mr. Epstein wrote that he had helped Mr. Gates acquire drugs to deal with the consequences of sex with Russian girls, and that he had facilitated a rendezvous for Mr. Gates with married women. It was not clear if Mr. Epstein actually sent the emails to Bill Gates. The files also revealed that Howard Lutnick, the Commerce Secretary, planned a visit to Mr. Epstein's island in 2012, although he had previously said he severed ties with Mr. Epstein around 2005. Lutnick told the Times on Friday that he could not comment about the visit because he had not seen the documents. I'm sure that's true. You call up the Secretary of Commerce, "Hey, how about those emails where you went on the pedophile sex island?" "Oh, I didn't see that yet." Hangs up. That's believable. A 2013 email exchange between the British billionaire Richard Branson and Mr. Epstein suggested that the pair had a familiar relationship built at least in part around their interest in women. Multiple messages between Elon Musk and Jeffrey Epstein showed the two comparing schedules to find time to meet in Florida or in the Caribbean between 2012 and 2014. So here's the thing about the files. To me, this is what is relevant. From what we have seen in the files, and I'm going to be completely honest with you, it is impossible just from the files alone to determine whether these are real or fake. Honestly, We don't have the context. We don't know how much of this is authentic. We don't know how much of this has been corroborated. Certainly, it seems that some of it is more credible than other parts of it. So, for example, the emails between Jeffrey Epstein and people he knew, that seems legitimate to me. It's from Epstein's email. It's seized by the FBI. I have no reason to believe these are fabricated. The most you could say is maybe for whatever reason, Epstein was making these up to troll, to indict certain people. Who knows? That is maybe what you could say is the extent of it. That seems to be more credible. Then on the other side, you have this long list of sexual assault accusations against Trump, which are very out there and seem pretty wild. And there's no evidence for them. All we have are complaints. We have some reports from confidential informants, and they reflect opinions, unverified accusations. That, to me, seems less credible. Here's what I will say about all of it, however, and this is, to me, what matters. All of this started because Donald Trump said that he would release the Epstein files, which the public deserves to see. At the minimum, the public deserves to see all of this investigated, and it should be transparent. When Trump is elected, they do a fake out. Around this time last year, the Trump administration invites all of these Jewish influencers to the White House, guys like Rogan O'Handley, who was praying at the Western Wall, guys like Mike Cernovich, who's tight with Alan Dershowitz, Scott Presler, Jack Posobiec. All the pro-Israel influencers are invited to the White House. As you remember, they get the binders, and the binders contain no new information, and they were only given to a handful of people. It was a head fake. And so you got to wonder, why did they create this fake out? Why did they try to trick us? Because that's what it is. They created this elaborate photo op in order to get people off of the case. They wanted us to stop looking into this. They wanted us to stop paying attention. Why? And that was their first move. Their first move 1 month in was to say, hey, let's invite their favorite influencers. Let's give them a bunch of crap. They will be satisfied and they will go away. They will stop caring about this issue. Very bold move. And quickly, people said, hey, what's the deal? Put the files online. Why'd you give them to five people? Give them to everybody. Well, then they uploaded the files and people quickly realized the files were fake. So people said, what's really going on here? Now where's the real files? By the end of that week, Kash Patel and Pam Bondi said, well, don't worry, we're releasing the files later. Well, later never came. They said, we have all the files. We're going to put them out next week. Never happened. They got questioned about it. Pam Bondi said, hey, the files are on my desk. They're ready to go. Then it got even weirder. Trump asked the FBI, did my name appear in the files? And the FBI actually spent hundreds of hours looking through the files, finding every mention of Trump's name. And there were thousands of mentions. Trump was asked about this in June of last year, and Trump denied doing this. They said, did your name appear in the files? Did you ask if your name appeared in the files? And Trump said, no, that was a lie. So you really got to wonder what the hell is going on. You get the fake out. They then try to procrastinate. They try to postpone it. Well, we'll put the files out later. Hope people forget about it. They come back. They say, well, we got them on our desk. They're going to come out later. Trump is very curious about whether he's in the files. And then he lies about asking the FBI to investigate and get to the bottom of that inquiry. Then this is when it really gets weird. Elon Musk goes to the White House with a black eye. It's his last visit to the Oval Office. This is right before Israel bombs Iran. This is the week before. Elon Musk goes on Twitter and says the reason Trump will not release the files is because he's in them and he knows he's in them. He's got a black eye. It's a week before Israel bombs Iran. and then he's never in the Oval Office again. After Israel's war with Iran concludes, which the United States intervened in, Netanyahu visits the White House to celebrate, and he gives Trump a big trophy for their victory in the war. The day before that visit, the DOJ publishes a memo and says, case closed. There are no Epstein files. They don't exist. We can't release them because there aren't any, and there are no third-party people we want to investigate. There's no black book. There's no sex trafficking ring. That never happened. This is done. This is a cold case. This is case closed. And as you recall, there was public outrage. People said, what the fuck is going on? First, you said they're on your desk. Now you say they don't exist. You campaigned saying you're going to release the files. Now you say there are no files to release. You talked about this sex trafficking ring. As a matter of fact, that's what Epstein was charged with and convicted for 20 years ago. Now you say there never was a sex trafficking ring. 2 weeks before the war, Elon's got a black eye and says Trump won't release the files because he's in them. Now Netanyahu brings this giant trophy to the White House to commemorate their victory in the war. And right before he arrives, he gets this gift, which is the Epstein files are going to be buried. So people go, what's up? Then you get this extraordinary cover-up. Trump comes out as guilty and defensive as anybody could possibly be. He says, if you are interested in the files, you're an idiot. You're a fake supporter. You're with the Democrats. You're with them. It's a hoax. The Democrats made it up. Why would they not get to the bottom of it under Biden? One line after another, one excuse after another, piling up. There are no files. It's only child sex abuse material. The files are real, but they're a hoax. They're real, but they're fake. If you believe in them, you're not my real supporter. Then you have Republican members of Congress that break with the party and vote with the Democrats to release the files. Congress shuts down a month early to prevent this from going through. Thomas Massie, Marjorie Greene, Nancy Mace, and Lauren Boebert get together, and they, working with the Democrats, are going to compel the release of the files with an act of Congress. They're even going to bypass the Speaker of the House, the leader of their own party. Congress closes a month early for their summer recess to prevent this from happening. Then when Congress comes back, do we get the files? No, because Congress shuts down for 45 days. Longest government shutdown in history. And in the end, the Democrats give up without any concessions. Kind of weird. Then a week later, we finally get this bill. It goes to the floor. It passes. Marjorie Greene, who pushed it, resigns mysteriously after getting death threats. Then Trump tries to drag his feet. They try to delay the release of the files. They try to amend the bill. Doesn't work. It takes 2 months. Now we're in January 26. We finally get the files, and there's 6 million of them. Now we finally get the files after they pulled out every stop to prevent this from happening. They shut down the government. They shut down Congress. They tried to trick us. They tried to postpone it. They lied. Trump tried to guilt trip us, tried to tell us it's not real. Finally, they release them. There are 6 million files. And Trump is named almost 5,000 times. And you say, okay, so that was a lie. Everything they said about it was a lie. They said the files don't exist. Okay, there's 6 million of them. So obviously they exist and you lied. Then they said, well, they're a hoax. Okay, well, maybe some of this stuff is incredible, but clearly a lot of it is. So that's a lie too. They said there is no trafficking ring. Well, from these emails and judging by what we've seen, I don't know that you can actually say that. I don't know that you can infer that without a full investigation. So it's hard to draw concrete conclusions from what we've seen because a lot of it is inconclusive. However, what we do know for a fact is that they lied. They engaged in a cover-up which failed. They lied about the existence of the files, the contents of the files, the treatment of the files. They pulled out every procedural stop to prevent the files from coming out. And now we only have half of them. And what's in there is pretty disturbing. Now, here's the next part of this. And I said it at the beginning. It's actually not our job to get to the bottom of this. It's our right to see it, but it's not our responsibility to investigate. Why? Because we don't have any power. Okay, the FBI has power. The Department of Justice has power. Congress has power. All of these institutions have power to subpoena, to investigate, to summon people. All of them have power actually to action these files and claims and accusations. We have the right to see the files. It is now the obligation of our representative government to do the people's will and investigate. So you've got 3 million files here. Howard Lutnick, Bill Gates, Elon Musk, Richard Branson, Steve Bannon, all these people are named, Donald Trump, Bill Gates. Now you need a full-blown investigation by the FBI into all of this. There are very serious accusations against Trump. This needs to be investigated. There are very serious accusations against all these people. This needs to be investigated. FBI needs to get to the bottom of it. DOJ, and you know what the next move is that they're going to try? You have House Republicans that are on the committee. They're already trying to pivot and make it about the Democrats. They're trying to compel Bill and Hillary Clinton to come and testify about the files. But Bill and Hillary Clinton are only a couple of people that are involved here. They're going to try and make it a partisan thing. This is about everybody that was involved in this. We need to know, because we need to know who's compromised. Are these emails with Bill Gates and Jeffrey Epstein real? Because if they are, then that means that Jeffrey Epstein had extraordinary blackmail leverage over Bill Gates, one of the richest people in the world. That would be a big problem. And if Epstein had a similar relationship with Howard Lutnick or Donald Trump or Bill Clinton, you know, that's a big problem. Because that would also seem to suggest that these people are compromised. By who? For what purpose? So again, and this is the most important thing, and I said this a couple weeks ago, everyone said it was controversial. Trump is not a pedo protector per se. That's not what this is. To the extent that there was pedophilia or underage sexual abuse, not justifying it, that was only in the furtherance of another crime. You understand the difference? That was in the furtherance of another crime. It's not like they were running a pedophilia ring because they just really wanted to get their rocks off and Jeffrey Epstein was a pimp. That's not what happened here. Jeffrey Epstein was pimping girls out to blackmail his clients. You understand? The sex trafficking, the sexual abuse of underage girls, these were crimes committed in the furtherance of extortion to compromise powerful people. That is actually the larger question. Are you prepared to ask that question? I see people squealing and screaming, pedophile protector, and they want to get into the sensational details of the sex crimes. I understand that. But you do realize that, let's say we nail Bill Gates for cheating on his wife, or we nail somebody for sleeping with a 16-year-old or a 15-year-old. It's a crime. It's disturbing. But the next question is, who paid for the blackmail? Is that person compromised? And if they were compromised, what were they ordered to do and by who? It's a question of politics. It's a question of our sovereignty. That is the scandal here. That is what the FBI needs to get to the bottom of. Because when you look at this circle, you see Howard Lutnick, our commerce secretary. You see Bill Gates, who runs Microsoft, one of the most valuable companies in the world. You see Elon Musk, again, who is going to be the world's first trillionaire. $1.5 trillion IPO for SpaceX, runs Tesla, runs X, runs Starlink and Starshield. If these people have connections to Epstein, that doesn't just imply that there's a sex crime, it implies that there is corruption, that there is some sort of nefarious political operation. That's actually the real story here. But I don't think we're ever going to see the light of day on this stuff. I don't think the FBI, the DOJ, I don't think they're ever going to bring any of that to light. Why would they? Cash Patel works for Trump. Pam Bondi works for Trump. Trump, in a sense, works for Israel, works for Elon. So how are they going to investigate these people? If Miriam Adelson and Israel and Elon, if they pulled Trump strings because they contribute the money, and if Trump employs Cash Patel and Pam Bondi, then how are Pam Bondi and Cash Patel going to possibly run this up the flagpole and do their job? They can't. Excuse me. And if they tried to, Trump would fire them. And if Trump empowered them to investigate, what do you think would happen to Trump? The billionaires would flip Congress and they would impeach Trump and they get somebody else in who would fire the DOJ and the FBI. This is the nature of our problem, you see? Are you starting to get it? This is why we need a Putin-like figure. This is why we need a Xi Jinping-like figure. Because at the end of the day, the president is disposable. And the law enforcement works for the president. This is the problem. Can a U.S. attorney, can an FBI agent, can an attorney general, can they fight the president? No. Can the president fight the billionaires or the foreign states? Not really. Can they fight the media and the intelligence agencies and Congress all at once? Hell no. That is why a democracy, an open society, is fundamentally vulnerable to an attack from the outside. That's why we need some kind of strong executive. We need someone that is impervious to this. We need the billionaires to be afraid of the president. We need those outside influences to be afraid of the president, not the other way around. Otherwise, this is the problem that you get. So those are the Epstein files. Very sensational, but inconclusive. The real thing is we need to get the FBI to investigate, but they'll never do that. And here's going to be the next move. You ready for this? This is hanging over Trump's head. So you thought that electing Trump was going to be the burn it all down option. If we elect Trump, he doesn't have to worry about re-election. If we elect Trump, he wants revenge because they tried to kill him. They tried to indict him. So people said Trump is unaccountable to anybody. Trump can just do what needs to be done. This is hanging over Trump's head like a dagger. You understand? So if Trump doesn't bring us to war with Iran, the dagger falls. If Trump doesn't play ball with the Israel lobby or the billionaires, the dagger falls. How does that happen? Why does that happen? The House will go to the Democrats in 26. They will impeach, which is to indict. Then it gets kicked over to the Senate. Republicans might lose some seats. I haven't looked at the map lately. The Democrats will have 45, 48 seats. They're going to need a dozen Republicans to defect, to convict Trump. And that's going to be your John Thune. That's going to be your Susan Collins, your Lisa Murkowski. That's going to be, it's not going to be difficult if the Israelis, the billionaires, if they really wanted it, they could kick him out of office. And maybe that's what this is really about. Maybe this is their ace in the hole. Why do you think that the first Iran war was bookended by intrigue about the Epstein files? Elon crashes out with this black guy about Epstein. A week later, we're at war with Iran. Epstein files get buried next day on 7-7, July 7th, 2025, 2-5. Netanyahu comes to the White House with his trophy for a job well done in the war with Iran. Epstein files get released. Today, we're locked and loaded for our second war with Iran. What a coincidence. What an absolutely amazing coincidence. So the Epstein files are talked about last year, war with Iran. They're buried, trophy for war with Iran. Epstein files are released, loaded gun pointed at Iran, strikes as soon as Sunday. Make it less subtle. Make it more obvious. I mean, that's what it looks like to me. And maybe that's conspiratorial. Maybe that's crazy. But that's what it looks like to me. This is humiliating for the president. It is mortifying. Whether the stuff in here is credible or not, you have FBI documents saying that Trump was taking turns raping kids and then killed. They were killed in front of him. No matter how you cut it, this is a catastrophe for Trump. And you wonder what's going on there. Who wanted that to come out? Who is in control of that information? What's in those other 3 million files that they didn't release? Who has the negatives? Who has the rest of it? Is it in Tel Aviv? Is it in the possession of Ehud Barak? Who's got it? What else is out there that we don't know about? That's the concern. So people said a couple weeks ago, if you watch my show, I said, it's not pedo protector. That's sort of missing the point. However you classify the sex crimes, really it's a story about sex abuse in the service of political compromise, political blackmail. And those are really the farthest reaching implications of this.